Today's main text will be Book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 4 to 13. He chastens those whom he loves. Under this title, we will share the word of today. Faith is like a race of faith, and he compares it to racing, like a competition. And to run well, you have to unload the weight off your shoulders. And through endurance to the very end, you have to pace yourself. And as you fix your eyes on Jesus, you have to finish the race, knowing that he awaits us, fully embracing us upon ending the race. And pace yourself. And in this vein, we are admonished and encouraged. Today, we are speaking of discipline and chastisement of God. In Korean, it has the connotation of training, to run well, to adeptly run well. God chastises us and disciplines us. First, God, why does he discipline us? What are the underpinning reasons? Let us review this carefully. And secondly, who does he discipline? Does he discipline everyone? There are some people that he leaves to their own devices. Leave them to be. Let us look into who exactly he disciplines. And what are the odd imperatives when he disciplines us? We will review. First, why does he chastise us, do you think? Why are we chastened by God? It is because we sin. It is owed to sinning. Let us read verse 4. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. There is the issue of sin. The sin will arrest you to the ground so that you cannot run and you give up. But we must never give up and fight against the sin. The issue of the flesh, Paul the Apostle enumerates it. Book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 9 to 21. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Even though you have not yet executed the sin, carried out the sin, God is all-knowing, omniscient, and he pierces into our hearts and knows our thoughts. Book of Mark, chapter 7, 21-22. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. Peter the Apostle, disciple Paul, in addition to Book of Mark, tells us, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Paul the Apostle, Book of Ephesians, chapter 4, 31. Furthermore, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. These are all sins. It is inherent in our character. These are the old habits and the sinful nature of ours that is intrinsic in us. It will entice you into sinning, committing the sin. While you run the race of faith, you are stimulated by the sinful nature. But you have to combat this at all times. You can triumph over the sins to when God has equipped us with the wherewithal to be victorious over sins. How can we weaponize ourselves to win? It is the Word of God. Word of God will triumph over the sins. when Jesus was tested, with the word, he triumphed over the sins and the devil. Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." He said, "Throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. God is our flesh personification, and he was subjected to the same enticements of sins and temptations. But how did he win and triumph over it? From the Logos of God, he was victorious. Word of God has the power to triumph over the sins and the devil. It's the most powerful weapon that we can weaponize. The Word of God is compared to the sword of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Word can enable you to be victorious over all sins. Why did he lose against the sin? Because he was not armed by the word of God. Eve, that is. And Jesus, he, with the sword of the Spirit, he was triumphant. We too, let us be armored by the word. We launched a campaign to assimilate the biblical context, to read the Bible in its entirety 3 times a year. Making it equating to 30 times in 10 years. Let us relaunch the campaign, and although we are resting right now, we will pick up the campaign again and relaunch it. And the first weapon we can use to weaponize is his word, and second is the power of the prayer. Paul the Apostle tells us that it is the spiritual battle against the devil, hence armor yourself entirely over your body. And the importance of the prayer is accentuated by Paul. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Book of Ephesians 6:18. In this one verse, 7 times, the importance of prayer is accentuated, re-emphasized by Paul. This is how important prayer is and how absolute prayer is. It is the essential wherewithal we need to triumph over the devil. It is the prayer. Founded on prayer, you can win against all spiritual battles, and let us win. And secondly, the precious blood of Jesus has the mighty power. Book of Revelations. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony, they did not love their life so much as to shrink from death. How did they win? From the word, from the testimony, and by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Everyone, the precious blood of Jesus, do you believe that it has the power, that his blood, in his blood, the victory is fait accompli? When you fight, the blood of the Lord is powerful. I believe in the blood of the Lord. The blood of the Lord is the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. Precious blood of Jesus Christ has power. Let us rely on the blood. When you praise this precious blood, you can be triumphant and be victorious over the sins. Lastly, when you accord with the dictates of the Holy Spirit, you can win. Book of Galatians 5:16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. While we fight the sins, when you directly fight against the sin, you could lose. Hence, through the Holy Spirit fought against the sin, and as you accord with the Holy Spirit, you are free from the temptations of the sin and kept at bay from the sins when you are relying on the Holy Spirit. Do not fight on your own, but rely on the Holy Spirit. Inherent in us, we have the wherewithal to battle against the sins victoriously. In His precious blood and the Holy Spirit, He can equip us to be victorious. He has endowed us with this power. I pray that you believe in this without equivocation. Also, we are liable to fall. Do not forget, we fumble and we struggle. We collapse to the ground in defeat. This is repeated. Even at times we seek sins and we imbibe sins and we wallow in the sinful acts. Why? Because of the sins, by committing the sins, whereby God's discipline disciplines us, and for salutary reasons for us to make us holy, He disciplines us. Something to the effect of, He does it to our benefit. He disciplines us to impart us with His holiness. He disciplines us. I am holy, hence you too shall be holy. Something to the effect, He says, we are His children, hence we must be holy as well. This is the mandate of God. Therefore, within us, we have components of that's not pure. And through His discipline and chastisement, He winnows out the sin to purify us. Verse 15. For the time being, it may not be pleasant, but at the end, it will be to our benefit. Something to the effect, it says, training has a connotation of being immersed in fire and being hammered to be forged into a fine item. And when you are hammered by the hammer, it makes the item robust. And in that way, God tests us and trains us and forges us. And inherent in us, oblivious to us, we have the sinful nature. But through His training, we can be purified. And as you are bludgeoned by the hammer, there could be pain that's attached to it. But this is part of the training. It's part of progressively maturing in faith. And the forefathers of faith, they have all encountered this and experienced this. And through this, they became a wholesome beings of God. The father of faith, Abraham, too, underwent this. And through the training, he became the father of faith to all of us. And Joseph, too, was detested by his siblings and was sold like a slave. And he was in prison. But the end result was that he became the prime minister of Egypt. And through that, he saved people. And David too, King David, he was anointed. Thereafter, he was detested by Saul and was chased away and faced death potentially, but became the king. And as the servant of God, he served God. In that way, God trains us as well to make us holy, to make us wholesome beings. And regarding the sin, He will punish us and discipline us. If that is the case, there are various forms and types of disciplines, economic difficulties, financial issues, issues of children, sickness, in various forms and temperament. we are disciplined. Believe that this is part of the training and it is to our benefit. When I try to understand all this, it troubled me deeply till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. Book of Daniels. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. Book of Romans. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Book of Hebrews 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful later on. However, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Thus, there are various types of training and hardships. It's not in vain. It's not an act in futility, but it is to our benefit. Believe in this and humbly learn the teachings of God, and the fruits of peace and love will be upon us through the training. Believe in this. And there are various kinds of hardships that saddens you. But I pray in His name that you overcome this through the Word. It's not an easy task. It could be unwieldy, but through the training, God trains us to our benefit. Do not forget this. And I pray in His name that you will pass the test. Secondly, who receives the discipline from God? The end goal is to make you holy. Hence, it's not given to everyone. He doesn't discipline just anyone, regardless of how sinful you are, how evil you are. Sometimes you are left to your own devices. He leaves you to be. He lets you be to commit the sins as you have been. Book of Romans 1:24-27. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. He doesn't punish you. They will leave you to be. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. He does not interfere or intervene. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. Homosexuality it is speaking of. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. He left them to be, did not intervene, nor did He discipline them. Left to their own devices. In this manner, there are people that He chooses to be. Just let them be. Book of Psalm 73:16-19. When I try to understand all this, it troubled me deeply. But it appears they are prospering even in their acts of sin and have the envies of others. Why is this the case? But in the Book of Psalm tells us that at the end of time, what will be the ultimate end? When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply. Till I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground, you cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. At the end of the day, this is how they will meet their fate. It's not that God is oblivious and not knowing of their sins, but He knows what the result will be, hence leaving them to be. And at the time of the judgment, at the end of the day, for the eternal damnation, they will be meted out with the corresponding punishment, will be thrown into the eternal damnation. This is what is the most frightening thing. we are being intervened by God, interfered by God, and He disciplines us to forge us into His holiness character. Believe that this is His great grace and blessing. He does not discipline just anyone, only His children He disciplines. Only the beloved children He interferes. Verse 5, let us invoke it together. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you? As a father addresses his son, it says, My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when He rebukes you. Because we are His children, because He loves us, He chastises us. Then verse 6 and 7, let us continually read. Because the Lord disciplines the one He loves, and He chastens everyone He accepts as His son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as His children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If He does not love us, if He does not adopt us as His sons, He has no reason to discipline us. If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Therefore, when you are disciplined, when you are undergoing hardships, let us be cognizant of the fact that God disciplines us because we are His beloved sons and daughters, and because He deems us precious to transform us into a fine gold, for example, to make us noble and holy. Be mindful of this. When you are disciplined, remember to say to yourself that God loves us, and this is why we are facing the hardship. And lastly, when you are disciplined and chastened, what is your odd imperative? Do not trivialize the punishment and the discipline when you first face it. Do not trivialize the word, and do not be discouraged. Something to the effect it says. Be cognizant of God's discipline and quickly repent and penitently pause and return to God, to His embrace. There is a pattern. There is a protocol. When He disciplines you, He will first give you the word and show you the path with the word. And if you do not trek on the path, then He will punish you and rebuke you and will send the prophets to scorn you and to warn you. But even at that time, if you are not heedful of the directions of the prophets, and through our livelihoods, you will be interfered. For example, at work and family life, economically, physically. But if you continue to unrepent, then what would be the corollary of this? Then the punishment will become bigger and bigger. By sevenfold, you will be punished. It says, if after all this you will not listen to me, I will punish you for your sins seven times over. If you remain hostile toward me and refuse to listen to me, I will multiply your afflictions seven times over as your sins deserve. If in spite of these things you do not accept my correction but continue to be hostile toward me, I myself will be hostile toward you and will afflict you for your sins seven times over. Leviticus 26, 27, 28 verses. If in spite of this, you still do not listen to me, but continue to be hostile toward me, then in my anger, I will be hostile toward you. And I myself will punish you for your sins seven times over. By sevenfold, your sins will multiply. If you continue to reject God's word and dictations, then you will be punished ceaselessly and will be bludgeoned by the word. Until when? Until you become fully mindful of God, until you repent wholesomely. And until that time, you will be punished. When you are disciplined, you need to endure it and do not trivialize it in any way. Make light of the situation and repent solemnly. And when you are disciplined, do not be disappointed and do not be discouraged and misapprehend God's intentions. God, you might say to yourself, why is God leaving that person alone and yet pestering me with his word? Is it because he doesn't like me? He doesn't love me? It's the reverse. He loves us so much more than the person that he's leaving them to be, because he deems us as his sons. This is why he interjects in our lives, to make us holy. He trains us. Do not misunderstand God's intentions and do not be deterred and discouraged, but know that you will be of a character that can be likened to a fine gold. And when you are disciplined, obey God and revere God to the utmost. God disciplines us and revere him to the utmost, and we must have reverential fear for God when he disciplines us. And don't do it after you are punished and bludgeoned by the word. But leading up to it, obey so that you are not bludgeoned by the word and comply to God's dictations. And when he disciplines us, to preclude the snowballing of the punishment into a bigger size, comply to God's word. And lastly, when you are punished by God, rise up and continue the path of virtue. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Verse 12. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. The sin will fatigue our arms and feet, then whereby we collapse to the ground from the fatigue. God not only disciplines us, but rectifies the broken bodies and the spirit. Now, we were subjected to the sins and we fell to the ground, and the afflictions befell us, but from the word, let us rise up again and run the race of faith. God will discipline us and will cleanse us from the training. When you are disciplined by God, do not misapprehend God and do not be disappointed. Know that we are his beloved children, and this is why he is disciplining us. And let us expeditiously repent and be penitent and rise up again and continue the race of faith. I pray in his name that you will accord yourself to the teachings of today. Let us pray.